Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We praise God for our here being this morning. We thank him for his goodness. And we thank him that we're here this morning to be a part of the service and to hear the word of God for today. We thank God that the message today is a continuation from our message last week. And the title for today is God's Word Plus Faith Equals Rest. God's Word Plus Faith Equals Rest. And we've been talking about Hebrews, the third chapter and the fourth chapter. We're going to be in the fourth chapter of Hebrews today. Living a life of faith activates the promises of God and causes us to experience his realm of rest. Living a life of faith activates the promises of God and causes us to experience his realm of rest. I was thinking this morning about 1 John, first chapter, first verse. It said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning, when everything was in chaos, and the Spirit of God hovered over what was nothing really, and God spoke his word and brought order and creation to where there was chaos. In the beginning was the Word. And that verse, John is talking about Jesus. Has Jesus ceased to be the Word? No, he's not. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, Jesus. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. All things was made through him, Jesus, the Word, and without him, nothing was made that was made. God's Word is important. God's Word has always been important. God's Word would always be important. God's Word was always him. There's no separation. He and his word, God is the Word. The Word is God, and God is the Word. So the Word, when you got saved, you had to hear the Word of God in order to receive salvation. It took the Word. No word of God is void or without power. Every word of God is able to accomplish what the Word of God goes out to accomplish, the Bible says. It accomplishes what God sent his word out to do. So the Word of God is power. So God's Word is important. You can't have faith without the Word. There's no way in the world you can do it. Mixing God's Word with faith brings rest. Mixing God's faith word with faith brings rest. We get in the problem just like the children of Israel did when we don't mix the Word of God with faith. The Bible says that we don't, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Every word of God is important. Every word of God is important. Every word. Every word is important. We need the Word of God. Our trust and reliance on Christ's completed work is a rest that was prophesied and is available to all believers today. It takes an effort to rest because it's not automatic. We have to labor to enter into God's rest. I'm kind of putting this together with the Word now. You need the Word of God. There's no rest without the Word. There's no faith without the Word. You can't have one without the other. You can't have faith without the word of God. You can't have rest without God's word and faith. Faith comes from the word of God. And God has been showing me this, and it just, he just opened up more and more to me. But the children of Israel could not enter the rest of God because they hardened their hearts through unbelief. When we hear the word of God, the word of God comes with it, brings with it the power to accomplish whatever that word says. And with that word also comes the power to activate faith in us. But we have to what? Not harden our hearts. We have to receive it as the word of God. God, this is your word. I recognize it's your word. I acknowledge it's your word. And I receive it as your word. Not man's word, not my word, not my thoughts, not my whatever, but I receive it, God, as your word. When you read the word of God, read it this way. God, this is your word. The Holy Spirit moved upon men as they wrote this, and you decided to put this together in a Bible to become your word. So God, I receive this as your word. Even if you meditate, even if you take time to be in his presence, even if you enter into the secret place with God, enter there knowing that whatever God says to you, it's the word of God. And that word of God activates faith in you to do whatever that word says. Do not separate God from his word in your mind, because you can't really do it, but in your own mind and thinking, we can do it. Oh, we'll say God is important. You know, God is my all. He's my savior. He's my Lord. But then you don't see the word of God that way. Is the word your Lord? The word of God should be. If Jesus is your Lord and Jesus is the word, then should not the word of God also be Lord? It should be. It should be. The children of Israel refused to believe the word of God. They refused to listen and obey. And because they refused to listen and obey, they could not enter the promised land. The promised land was the physical place of rest for the children of Israel. They believed what the enemy told them. Let's look at Numbers 13, 32, and 33. Numbers 13, 32, and 33. As I told you last week, Moses sent out 12 spies. God told him to do that. So when God told Moses to do that, did Moses have a word from God? He did. And that word from God had power to do what? Whatever God said. Go and spy out the land. But I've given you the land. You go spy it out. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. You go spy it out, but I've given you the land. They had his word. 10 who believed his word, and 10 didn't. Numbers 13, 32, and 33 says this. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land, the 10 spies. They had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great statures. Then they said, which was, you know, all that was true. Well, nothing wrong with what they said in verse 32, but they got a problem down in verse 33. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, they came from the giants. That part is okay too, but here's where they messed up. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. We were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. They did not believe the word of God, but they believed their own words and their own eyes. It's important how you see yourself. It could be you have not entered God's rest of identity because you are not seeing yourself through God's eyes and heart. Are you rested in your identity? Are you resting in the fact that you are sons and daughters of the Most High God? Are you resting in that? Are you resting in what you see you are, what somebody else sees you are? Maybe others are seeing you in a negative way because that's how you see yourself. Hebrews 3rd chapter warns us not to be like the Israelite. Don't harden your heart toward the word of God. Because if you do, you cannot enter God's rest. And God has designed a place of rest for us. There's a realm of rest that we as children of God in the new covenant are supposed to walk in. We're supposed to walk in that. And that rest is really called, it's called in the Passion Translation, faith, rest, life. Same thing I said, God's word plus faith equal rest. And it equal that faith, rest, life. We're supposed to be living a life of rest. We have ceased from our works. Grace means you have ceased from your own works. And now you put your faith in what God has done. Let's look at Hebrews 4:2. Now, Hebrews 4:1, I'm sorry. Hebrews 4:1. We're going to go through the sixth verse in Hebrews. Hebrews 4:1. It talks about the Israelites in Hebrews 3. They could not enter into the promised land, which was their place of rest, because of unbelief. Because they, remember last week I told you, unbelief hardens your heart. It hardens your heart. The Israelites hardened their heart. Pharaoh hardened his heart. The disciples hardened their hearts. Because in any time you don't believe God, you harden your heart. Hebrews 4:1-6. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. All of us have the promise of entering into God's rest. Every born again believer, matter of fact, even an unsaved person has the promise. You just got to receive it. When Jesus died, he died for all. So his death was given to all, but all have not received it. But all can receive it. Why have the world not received the promise of God of salvation? Because what? They continuously harden their heart. When they hear the word of God, they continually refuse to believe the word, but they believe their own hearts, their own minds, and what they see. They don't believe the word of God. So all of us have that promise of entering into God's realm of resting in confident faith. But we must be extremely careful, Hebrews says. Extremely careful. Let us fear that lest any of you seem to come short of it. We don't want to come short of it. You want to embrace the fullness of that promise and not fail to experience it. Wouldn't it be a terrible thing for someone to give you a gift? I mean, a precious, great gift. Let me put it this way. Wouldn't it be a terrible thing if somebody gave you gifts? They gave you more than one gift. Maybe they gave you five gifts. And all five are yours. But you only received two of them. And you left three. Wouldn't it be a terrible thing to not receive all that God has for you? Just some of it, but not all of it. Well, the word of God tells us God wants to receive all that he has for us. All of it. Verse 2 said, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. The word of God must be mixed with faith. And I'm going to tell you after a little while how to mix that word of God with faith, how to do that. But the word of God must be mixed with faith. It doesn't do us any good if we hear the word of God. And we're going to talk about the parable of the seed of the sword, but not today, but maybe next time. But everybody hears the word. All of you are hearing the word of God today, but it's up to you how you receive it. Whether or not you receive it in your heart, or you harden your heart toward it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. What gospel? the good news of deliverance from all the works of the enemy. That was the gospel to the Israelites. Jesus hadn't come yet, so that gospel was different from what we hear today. But it was still good news, wasn't it? It still was good news. And the gospel was good news. The good news was, I've given you the land. Go in and possess it. I have overcome the enemies for you. Just do what I tell you to do. But hearing the word didn't do them any good because they refused to believe. They believed the thoughts the enemy put in their mind that I'm just like a grasshopper. I'm smaller than they are. I'm a grasshopper. So therefore, I must be a grasshopper in their eyes. They had a grasshopper mentality. They didn't have a God mentality. They had a grasshopper mentality. They didn't mix the word of God with faith. They didn't mix the word of God with faith. So therefore, they could not rest in the promised land. Matter of fact, God swore in verse 3 that they would not enter the promised land because of their unbelief. Although he said in verse 3, the works were finished from the foundation of the world. From the foundation of the world, I had declared that they could enter the promised land. I had declared that the promised land is there. God has declared some things about us from the foundation of the world. But we can only get there if we believe the word of God. If we mix what faith with the word. How do you enter this confident realm of rest? By choosing to believe. Just like choosing to harden your heart is a choice, choosing to believe is a choice also. Everything we need, all the works of grace to enter this rest has been finished from the foundation of the world. Isn't that good to know? You don't have to do anything to finish it. You don't have to do anything to get it to work. You know, I got to do this. I got to do this. God already made it work. His word said it works. And he did that from the foundation of the world. For those of us who believe, faith activates the promise. For those of us who believe, faith activates the promise. And we experience the realm of confident rest. That promise has to first be activated by faith before we can what? Experience that realm of confident rest. What does it mean to have a realm of confident rest? Confident rest means, okay, I'm not worried about this thing no more. It's mine. It's done. It's a done deal. God done signed his name on the dotted line through Jesus Christ. And now with my faith, what am I doing? I'm saying, okay, this is mine. It's a done deal. It's a done deal. It's a done deal. That's what happens when we experience the realm of confident rest. Nobody can't pull you off your place of rest, but you ain't about to let them. They can say what they want to. They can do what they please. They can look at you and say, you can say, I'm healed. They look and say, well, you should don't look healed. You ain't acting healed neither. But what do you say? I ain't thinking about what you're saying. You are not pulling me from my place of confident rest in the word of God. I'm staying right here. I'm staying right here. And your pocketbook might say, you ain't got no money to pay that bill. Your bank account might say, you ain't got no money to pay that bill. But you can say, bank account, pocketbook, I ain't listening to you. I'm not moving my confident place of rest. God has provided. And you know what? Sometimes those provisions come in the very last minute. That's why you can't give up. You can't quit. Because the moment you quit, you're on the brink of your deliverance. You're on the brink of your blessing, and you quit before it get there because you gave up. How do we know we have activated the promise by faith? We experience a realm of confident rest. Let's look at Romans 4:20 and 4:21. Let's look at Abraham. Abraham, I believe, entered a realm of confident rest about the promise of having Isaac, his son. Romans 4:20 said, Abraham did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. At that being fully convinced was when Abraham, what? entered into that place of confident rest. He entered the realm of confident rest. He was fully persuaded. Nobody was going to change his mind. You could not have persuaded Abraham that he wasn't going to have a son. He knew he was. He knew he was. Have you ever been to a place you just know that you know that you know something? And nothing can change your mind. You enter that realm of confident rest. You know, okay, God has said it. I believe it. It's done. It's a done deal. It's a done deal. The only thing that can keep us out of God's realm of confident rest is unbelief. Unbelief. That's the only thing that keeps us out of that realm. We need to have the knowledge of God and Jesus. So how do we get there? How do we get to that place where we our faith activates the promise, and then we enter the rest? Let's look at 2 Peter 1:2 and 2 Peter 1:3. 2 Peter 1:2 says this: grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. You see, I started off with 1 John because I want us to see how important the Word of God is. How we need the Word of God. Faith comes from us having knowledge of the Word of God. It comes from there. So we need the Word. We need the Word of God. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Savior. The more you know God and Jesus, the more grace and peace you will have. We are laboring to know. We are laboring to know. We're putting forth an effort. The more grace and peace, the more confident rest. We're putting forth an effort. What's that effort? That effort is what? Getting your Bible and reading the Word of God. It doesn't come by osmosis. That's our part. That's our laboring. That's our effort. Read the Word. Meditate the Word. Hear the Word. Pray while you're reading the Word of God. Pray in tongues while you're reading the Word of God. Meditate. Take time to sit along with God, to listen. Robert taught us the other week. Listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying. Because what? When you're listening, sometimes we think the only word from God is what's already written in the Bible. That's the written word. We don't realize every time God speaks to you, that's a word from the Lord. Every time the Holy Spirit puts something in your heart and an impression, that's a word of the Lord. Every word of God is important. No matter what avenue it comes through, it could come through the Word. It could come through the preacher. It could come through the teacher. It could come through you reading. It could come through you just taking time to listen, to hear God. But every word of God, no matter how it comes, it's important. It's important. It's important. Don't think that you only have only one way to hear. You have more than just one way to hear. God can speak through many ways to you. You just have to be open to how God speaks to you, how that word comes to you. So you can be able to what? Activate that word or that promise with faith. Activate it with faith. So you can enter into that realm of rest. That realm of rest. I was reading about the gifts of the Spirit. And this person said something that was very important. The word of knowledge, the word of wisdom. And God loves us so much. He wants us to take advantage of every promise. Everything he's given us, he wants us to take advantage of it. He wants us to walk in all that he has given us. And so he gives us more than one way of being able to get his word. If you're in a service and somebody needs healing and a word of knowledge comes, guess what that word of knowledge comes for? That word of knowledge comes to activate faith in that person so they can receive that healing. When a word of prophecy comes to you, guess why God sent that word of prophecy? He wants to activate faith in you to believe what he's telling you. So it all boils down to the word. It all boils down to God wanting us to have faith to believe him, to walk in his promises, to walk in everything he's given us. It all boils down to that. Every word of God is important. That's a sermon by itself right there. Every word of God is important. Don't take it lightly. Don't take lightly how God speaks to you. I remember Donnie saying the other week that he was hearing this song about the goodness of God. It seemed like everywhere he go, he was seeing it, hearing it. Well, you don't you know that that could have been a way of God speaking to him? Every time you hear that song. So pay attention. Sometimes God uses numbers to speak with people that are number persons. They keep seeing the same number over and over again on the clock, on the highway, different places. Take notice how God speaks to you and listen and say, Lord, what are you saying? What are you saying? What are you saying? Let's look at 2 Peter 1, 3. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us by glory and virtue. So how does this divine power and all things that pertain to life and godliness come? It comes what? Through the knowledge of him, the word. Through the knowledge of him, the word. Every word of God, everything that God says, everything that God does to make himself known unto you, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Through knowing him, his divine power gives us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Everything we could ever need for life and complete devotion to God has already been deposited in us by his divine power. Remember, I told you it's been ordained since the foundation of the world. For all this was lavished upon us through the rich experience of knowing him who has called us by name and invited us to come to him through a glorious manifestation of his goodness. It's like something that's going on in the inside of me. And I'm seeing that everything is just going in one. It's like everything's coming together. You know how I guess it's like somebody, a mystery or something, and they try to figure out something and they investigate some stuff. And then all of a sudden, all the clues come together and it paints you a picture. Let's look at 2 Peter 1, 4. By which have been given to us, exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these we may be partakers of the divine nature. So what has been given to us? Exceedingly great and precious promises. Faith activates the promises of God. Yet through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. Now, divine nature is in us, but we got to what? Partake of it, I told you last week. Partake is like when I put a cake in front of you, you slice, you looking at that cake is not partaking. You look at it all day long, you ain't partake of nothing. But if you slice that cake and put it in your mouth and eat it and swallow it, you have partake of the cake. So partakers of the divine nature. So God's divine nature, what, is in us. But we gotta partake of it. We gotta partake of it. As a result of this, he has given you magnificent promises that are beyond all price. So that through the power of these tremendous promises, you can experience partnership with the divine nature by which you have escaped the corrupt desires that are of the world. How do we take possession of these promises? Faith activates the promises, and we can then experience the realm of confident rest. Faith activates the promises. Faith activates the promises. Where does faith come? It comes from every word of God. Every word of God brings faith. Every word of God brings faith. Every word of God brings faith. And faith activates the promises. Faith cannot come except from the word of God. Not the God give, not the faith of Christ. The faith of Christ only comes through the word of God. And then we can experience the realm of confident rest. Let's look at Hebrews 4, 6. But those who first heard the good news of deliverance failed to enter into the realm of faith. And I'm reading from the Passion Translation here. Failed to enter into the realm of faith rest because of their unbelieving hearts. Yet the fact remains that we still have the opportunity. We still have the opportunity. Do you have the opportunity? We all have the opportunity to enter into the faith rest life and experience the fulfillment of the promise. You got to enter into the faith rest life in order to what? Experience the fulfillment of the promise. It takes faith. It takes faith. But we say that like it's some hard thing. We don't realize It's not hard because every word of God contains faith. Every word of God activates the faith that's already in us. Hebrews 4:9. So we conclude that there is still a full and complete rest waiting for believers to experience. There's a full what? Complete rest waiting for us as believers to experience. Hebrews 4:10. And as we enter into God's faith rest life, we cease from our own works. We stop trying to get healed. We stop trying to be successful. We stop trying to be saved. We stop trying to be holy. We stop trying to be good. We stop trying not to be angry. We stop trying this. We stop trying that. We cease from our own works, just as God celebrates his finished work and rests in them. God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. On the seventh day, he rested. And he wants to give us a Sabbath rest. Our salvation should be a Sabbath rest here on earth. We're not waiting for a Sabbath rest one day when we die and go to be with Jesus. We should be having our Sabbath rest right here. Right, Mary? God ceased from creation when all was finished, and on the seventh day he rested. We are living in a Sabbath rest. Let's look at Hebrews 4:11 and 12. So then we must give our all and be eager to experience this faith rest life, so that no one falls short by following the same pattern of doubt and unbelief. We don't want to follow the pattern of doubt and unbelief like the children of Israel did. We don't want to be hard-hearted like Pharaoh. Even the disciples had a hardened heart, and Jesus had to discipline them. We talked about that last week. Hebrews 4:12, but we have the living word of God. Isn't it amazing? I never put this verse here. We always take this verse and isolate it. We don't connect it with the other verses in Hebrews 4. We've been talking about what? Rest. We've been talking about the word of God. We've been talking about faith. The faith is what activates the promise. So then in 4:12 it says, but we have the living word. And I'm reading from the Passion Translation. We have the living word. The word of God is alive. And the King James Version says it's powerful, it's quick, and sharper than any two-edged sword, which is full, and here in the Passion Translation says, which is full of energy, and it pierces more sharply than a two-edged sword. Why is it telling us now the word of God is alive? Why is this scripture here? Why is it here in Hebrews? Why is it following, telling us not to harden our hearts, and telling us about we need to believe God, and telling us we need to be obedient to the word of God? Why is it there? Why is it there? Why is it telling us this? Why is it telling us this about the word of God? Because what? You need, and me, all of us, we need to sit down when we read the word of God and receive that word. Allow that word to do in our hearts what it wants to do. Whatever in our hearts that's keeping us from believing, the word of God wants to work on it. The word of God wants to work on it because it's living. It's full of energy. It's got a double-edged sword and able to cut out whatever that thing is that's keeping you from activating your faith to receive the promise. God wants us to walk in the fullness of his promises. He wants us to walk in the fullness of rest. He wants us to walk in all he has for us. And that word activates. That word comes in and it cuts and takes away all that hinders us from receiving the promises of God. Sit down with the word of God. Sit down somewhere quiet with the word of God. Sit down quiet and read and study that word. And when the Holy Spirit highlights something to you, stay there with that word. Meditate on it. Allow God to do in your heart what the word of God wants to do in your heart. I remember years ago, and I had a place in Zeblin, now Wendell. And we had prayer there every Saturday at 4 o'clock, me and another friend of mine. We would play worship music and pray. And I remember going there 4 o'clock on those Saturday evenings and praying, playing music, worship music, and listening when I was praying to the Holy Spirit. I would pray in tongues. Then I would get to a place where I was quiet. And the Holy Spirit was working on the inside of me. The word of God I prayed, the word of God I sung, began to work on the inside of me in my heart. And God began to rearrange some stuff and get out some stuff and get rid of stuff that needed to go. He was doing a work in my heart. The word of God, the living word of God, will do a work in your heart. This is what this is talking about. It's talking about this word is sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces whatever pierces your heart, and it removes all things and everything that's hindering you from allowing the word of God to activate the promises in your life. It said it would even penetrate to the very core of our being, where soul and spirit, bone and marrow meets. The word of God will let you know what's in you that's soulish, what's in you that's spiritual. And what's in you, bone and marrow meets, what's in you that's flesh. It interprets and reveals the true thoughts and secret motives of our hearts. You cannot come away from there without knowing what's true in your heart and the motives in your heart, whether right or wrong, and stuff that needs to go. Maybe you're thinking in a way that you don't need to think no more. The word of God will do all of that. But it does it where? On the inside of us, in our hearts. So that we can what? Have the faith we need to activate the promise. Let's look at Hebrews 4:13. I'm going to read from the Passion Translation. There is not one person who can hide their thoughts from God. Now, let me know we're talking about us. It ain't talking about, no, it's talking about us. We can't hide our thoughts from God. For nothing we do remains secret, and nothing created is concealed. But everything is exposed and defenseless before his eyes, to whom we must render an account. And we ought to want God to see our hearts, because once God sees our hearts, he shows it to us. We don't always know what's in our hearts, but the word of God will search our hearts and it will let us know what's there. Because once you know what's there, you know what's of God and you know what's not of God, so then you know what to let go and you know what to keep. It's like cleaning the house. My mother used to do spring cleaning. Mama cleaned spring clean. And she decided what she needed to keep, what was some good, and that wasn't no good, she threw out. Some of us need to spring clean our hearts, don't we, Ed? Throw out some stuff. If it ain't of God, throw it out. Keep everything that's of God. And the word will let you know what's of God and what needs to be kept. He will let you know. Hebrews 14 says this. And it's talking about Jesus, our high priest. And it says he understands humanity. Our high priest understands humanity. Because he was what? Tempted in all things like as we were. And verse 16 tells us, what can we do now? Since we know we have a great high priest that walked this earth in a body just like we're in now. He was tempted just like we are. But now he's a glorified high priest that sits up there for us. And he's also in us. We can do what verse 16 says, 4:16. We can come boldly, we can come freely and boldly to where love is enthroned. The Passion Translation said, we can come boldly to where love is enthroned. The New King James Version says we can come boldly to the throne of grace and find mercy and grace to help in time of need. Love is enthroned. Our high priest is enthroned on a throne of love. Not a judgment throne, but a throne of love. And we can receive mercy and grace to strengthen us in a time of weakness. It's okay to have a time of weakness. The high priest knew we were going to have a time of weakness. He knew we were going to have a time where we struggled with the word of God. We struggled with allowing the word of God doing us what it needed to do. Then we struggled with walking in all the word that we had for us. But he made a way for us to come boldly to him. To get help. To get help. And I'm getting ready to close. Matthew 11, 28, 29, and 30 says this. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come to me, Jesus said. Come. Come every time you need to come. Talk with him all the time. Ask him whatever you need to ask him. Just come to him. Don't forget to come to him. Don't forget he's there. Sometimes the Holy Spirit have to do this to us. Tap us on the shoulder. Get our attention. But don't wait till he tap you on the shoulder. Come to him. Come to him. Come to him. What is the effects of hearing Jesus and his finished work exalted? It leads to a life of rest and good success because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. I want to conclude with this. God's word activates the faith of Christ in us. God's word activates the faith of Christ in us. Romans 10, 17 said, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Hearing God's word activates faith. You can see it that way. Hearing God's word activates faith. The faith of Christ is in us. Romans, Galatians 2:20 tells us that. The faith of Christ is in us. But how does faith come? The word of God tells us that too. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes when you hear the word of God. Faith, that faith of God in you, the faith of Christ in you comes. And the word of God activates that faith. The faith of Christ in us activates the promises of God. And that faith activates the promise. Whatever promise you are believing God for, whatever word that you, and we have a word for every promise. Isn't that good? We got a word of God for every promise. We then experience the confident realm of rest. God's word activates faith. Then that faith activates the promise of God. And then when that faith of God activates the promise of God, we then experience what? The confident realm of rest. That confident realm of rest. So if you're weary today of trying to get something to work, you need to quit. You will never get it to work on your own. You will never get it to work. So you just need to quit. Stop trying to make things work. And just trust God. And allow him to activate the word of God, to activate faith in you. Go to the word of God. Find the word that you need for your situation. Ask Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, lead me to a word. And then you let that word activate the promise. And then you let that promise bring you into your confident realm of rest. The word of God activates faith, and faith activates the promise. Let's stand. Father God, we thank you for your word today. We thank you that every word of God, every word that you have given us, God, every word that you yet to give us is not void of power. But all your word that you give us, it activates faith in us. You bring your word and give us your word to activate faith in us. Ah, thank you, Jesus. You give us your word to activate faith in us. You give us your word to activate your faith in us because you want your faith activated so we can receive the promise. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. And once the promise is activated, then we enter a realm of rest where we're just resting, knowing that we already have it. And once we know it's already ours, then the manifestation comes. We don't have to worry about that. It can come instant. It can come over a space of time. It doesn't really matter because now we've entered a place of rest. We're just resting. We're just resting. We're just resting in your promise. So God, we thank you for that this morning. We thank you, Father God. Help us to value more your word. To value more how you speak to us. What you say to us. How you say it, and to receive it, and not harden our hearts, but receive what you say to us. Let us not take it lightly. Sometimes because we have not been listening, we don't recognize when you're talking. We don't recognize when you're speaking. Holy Spirit, help us recognize when you're speaking, when you're talking to us, so that we won't harden our hearts. But we allow your word to activate your faith in us. And then your promise will be activated. So God, we say thank you. Thank you for all you've done. And you have done everything. You've done everything. You've done everything. Everything we could ever need or ever want in this life to live a faith life. Because we walk by faith and not by sight. Everything we need for this faith life, you have given us. You have not left one thing undone. You have not left one thing, Father God, that's not perfectly and there for us. So God, we say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So since I know we know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by your word, God, God, we're going to start right here today. We're going to make your word number one priority in our life. We're going to make what you say to us number one priority in our life. We're not going to take what you tell us lightly. We're not going to take what you told us lightly. But God, we receive it. I mean, walk in every word of God, because we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of your mouth. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word today, Lord. Thank you, Father God. You have given us the measure of faith, and your word activates that faith. And when that word of God is activated in us, then the promise is activated and fulfilled. And we enter a place of rest. And so, God, we thank you. Resting means we cease from our labor. We cease from our work, God. And we trust in what you've already done. So, God, we say thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen. 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 Are there any comments or prayer requests before we close? We're getting ready to close. Any prayer requests from anybody on Zoom? Any prayer requests from anybody in here? So glad Kate was able to be with us today. So glad Miss Mary Pettiford is doing good. So it's a blessing to be here. Roxanne was doing better after women's study yesterday. She was doing better. Amen. So we say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If there's no prayer requests or any comments, then we're going to close. Anything from over there, Mary? Okay. Let's be dismissed by saying amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.